This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2150. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. This edition recorded August 4th, Algeria, Antarctica, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Canada, Cook Islands, Cuba, Czechia, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Greece, Italy, Malaysia, Norway, Oklahoma, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea, Poland, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Solomon Islands, Spain, Tonga, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Since last week, there have been many more logs of those shortwave tests from Algeria, presumably their own long-delayed new transmitter sites, and some have shown up on additional unlisted frequencies. First of all, trying to spell one of them, I got it wrong. It's O-U-R-G-L-A, sometimes spelled O-U-A-R-G-L-A, Wargla. Paul Walker found a blog post from a radio magazine translated from French to English, roughly. Preparations for operation of the two shortwave transmitters from Wargla in Berkawi and Bishar in Kanadsa. After testing carried out in Kanadsa, in the western center of the country, by Ambigon, last March on 17600, it is the turn of Berkawi, where a training course was organized for engineers and technicians of the center. Training course has been going on since 19 July on 15340 and 15100 with different powers. Modulation taken from different RTA channels, mainly channel 1. And further testing is being done at Kanadsa on 17600. Operation from these centers cannot be far off. On July 29th at 0640 UT, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria found another frequency in use in Arabic, 15675. I am told by a reliable source. Evidently, the testing at one or both HF sites continues. Commissioning HF sites can involve considerable testing of transmission line and antenna behavior, as well as transmitter operation. Listen to 7200, August 2nd at 0446. John Hudek in Ontario heard the Algerian national anthem, confirmed as such via YouTube. Bill Harms in New York heard an NID in Arabic on 9450, August 2nd at 0530. Soon confirmed as another of these from Algeria, says Ivo Ivanov. My observations of LRA 36 Antarctica this week on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB, that's the frequency Glenith, which I omitted last week. On Saturday, July 30th, it was on the air, but just part of the time, came on abruptly at 15.07 and off at 15.31, and no show on the following Wednesday, August 3rd, when I monitored for an entire hour, as usual, only via remote in Argentina. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard says July 29th was a good day for reception of the low-power Australians. On 5045, he heard Bay Islands Radio, or Island FM, after 1405 UT, with some definite audio playing older pop hit songs. And an unusual day since he also heard the low-power shortwave Australia on 4835 from 1251 until off at 1338. That one also on July 30th until it went off at 1334. July 31st, music ended at 1303, and there was a closing announcement until 1304. And on August 30, says, surprised to actually hear a clear shortwave Australia ID, 200 watts, monitored from 1255 until off at 1340. In New Zealand DX Times, Dean Lindenberg reports hearing another one via remote in South Australia on 2325, Station X in Weewar, with a Saturday night party mix, July 16th at 12:54. Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports hearing Radio Pio Doce, Bolivia, 5952, probably 0.4. He says they returned in June with the same broadcast format as before, but only on weekends. However, on Saturdays, July 23rd and 30th, it was silent, but he heard it again on Sunday, July 24th, from 21:35, with talks in Spanish and some music. The signal improved after 22:04, heard until at least 23:01. Radio Voz Missionaria, Brazil, continues to vary slightly below 9665. It's normally on the air all night, but occasionally it is missing. That was the case on August 3rd at 0627, when I still found the only other Brazilian all-nighter on 31 meters, presumably, Rádio 9 de Julho, on its signature off-frequency, measured at 9818.793. In the ham column of CIDX Messenger, two new bands for Canadian amateurs. 472 to 479 kilohertz, also known as 630 meters, where they may run up to 5 watts EIRP. And there's now a 15 kilohertz wide new worldwide allocation in the so-called 60-meter band, 5351.5 to 5366.5, with Canadians allowed to use up to 100 watts ERP. That is extended well beyond the original single frequency there, 5358.5. In New Zealand DX Times, Chris Rogers reports on Cook Islands. I have it on good authority that RCI has turned off their medium-wave 630 signal that was using a standby transmitter at Black Rock after the main site at Mata Vera was decommissioned a while back, relying now just on their FM service. Ricky Long in Alberta forwards a Reuters story of July 30th from Havana. The Cuban capital will begin electricity blackouts in August, has canceled Carnival, and is taking other measures as the country's energy crisis worsens, state media reported. A schedule of power outages means each of Havana's 6 municipalities will have its electricity cut every 3 days during peak midday hours. And Ricky says, this might explain the more noticeable absence of shortwave stations from time to time. And Marshall Reel of near Washington, D.C. says, I've noticed Cuban jamming of Radio Martí has diminished lately. They're still jamming, but mostly at certain peak listening hours. Other times, very low or no power. Two masts of the former high-power Czech radio transmitter in Topolna, Czechia, on 270 kHz, were demolished on July 29th, says Carl Hunzik to the Medium Wave Circle via Medium Wave Info, via Mike Terry in the British DX Club. I looked it up, and when on the air, this long-wave transmitter used to run 650 kilowatts. Via NZDX Times, on 28 July, Egyptian DXer Tarek Zaidan had news of a new station playing Yemeni music heard on 1539 kilohertz between 13 and 20 UT. Mauno Ritola subsequently identified it as reactivation of Radio Djibouti from across the waters. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, reports an NID clandestine broadcast at 16 to 1630 UT on 15185. Perhaps Oromia Public Media, brokered by RMI, moved from 15330. Transmitter site, France, and so far without Ethiopian white noise digital jamming. And another one heard at the same time slot, 16 to 1630, on August 1st on 15415. He says was Radioni di Re Chagar via France. At SWLing.com, Thomas Witherspoon laments that Voice of Greece is no longer heard on shortwave, nothing at all, in the sesquimonth since last reported June 15th. Further discussion, however, on that blog, here's a contrary opinion from apparently a Greek named Photios. He says it was long overdue, no matter what some listeners think about VOG. It was one more agency for Greek politicians to enthrone their voters and close friends. It was a crime because the expenses for a shortwave transmitter are huge, and they were even larger in a country where overpopulation of government agencies is a trademark. Employees at ERT, whom the VOG was part of, received a salary from 3 different government sources, and the multitude of gardeners had a salary of 3,000 euros. That sounds like a myth, but to me it is one more crime. The unique Greek press did not dig into these atrocities, and as much as I searched, no politician and no journalist exposed the full extent of them. One politician got it right when he said the ERT was a paradise of waste. Another reply from apparently someone named Costas. I've been unofficially notified by a Greek ham who works on high-power shortwave stations that the remaining stations are there, but there is no one left who knows how to operate and fix them. That's why they're closed down. Some very sad news from Italy. Andrea Lavendale reports that Roberto Scaglione in Sicily died suddenly of a heart attack on August 1st. He was the proprietor of bclnews.it and one of our cooperators, also produced his own DX programs in Italian, Obiettivo DX on Adventist World Radio and Studio DX on WRMI. Here's the schedule for Studio DX in case you want to hear what will presumably be the final broadcasts. Tuesday at 10:30 on 5850. Wednesday at 01 on 9955. Wednesday 01:30 on 5850, 7730, and 9395. Thursday at 03:30 on 7780. And Saturday at 12:30 on 5850. And Nino Marabello in Sicily says, be careful, you have only one life. Mourning in Palermo for the untimely and sudden death of Roberto Scaglione, historical technician of Tele One. Deep emotion and disbelief. The death of Roberto Scaglione, a well-known DXer from Palermo at the age of 55. His weekly program, Obiettivo DX, was conducted with great passion. Ron Howard in California says one of the two shortwave transmitters left in Malaysia has been missing, 11665. YFM WAI from the peninsula back to Sarawak. July 31st, it was heard until cut off at 13:57. They've had transmitter problems with poor audio for a long time, but they were definitely off the air August 1st and 2nd, while the other one, 9835 Sarawak FM, was still heard July 31st, August 1st and 2nd, around 0810 with their Islamic afternoon prayer. And the same situation on August 3rd, checked at 10:15 and 11:45. 9835 was on and 11665 was off. Norway, this from Sven Martinsen, August 4th, medium wave circle, via Mike Terry about Northern Star, 1611 kilohertz. This station, the C, S-E-A, is not on the air. It closed after midnight on December 15th. It's a classic country station. However, new licenses have been given for 630, 1314, 1611, and 5895 kilohertz. We anticipate to be back on the air soon. 1611 is an ITU internationally cleared frequency only for the Vatican and Norway. All other use is illegal. We plan digital transmissions on that frequency, as we are licensed for. Someone reported hearing them on 1611, but it must have been a pirate in Belgium. He says the pirates harm the enormous effort we've put in to secure this clear frequency for Norway. Last week I mentioned hearing a low-power Catholic station in Helena, Montana, on 97.3 megahertz during an FM DX opening, with many other Montana stations. However, since then I've also run across a low-power station beyond Oklahoma City, which is also Catholic on 97.3. KKNG-FM. It's part of Oklahoma Catholic Radio. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 2150. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Joe Caberlin in Port Colborne, Ontario, VE1EJ. We've sent some U.S. dollars to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684. ENID, okay. 73702. One may also contribute, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Steve Witt in the Medium Wave Circle forwards news from Radio Pakistan. The Director General of PBC says it will start transmission from all its houses round the clock very soon. Also upgrade transmitters at different stations so listeners can enjoy quality transmission across the country. Unfortunately, no details, but they're also launching podcasting and streaming. From the Post Courier, Papua New Guinea, via Australian DX News, the National Broadcasting Corporation has received a promised 500 kilo kina funding from the provincial government in Morobe. The annual funding is for one megakina, but this is the first payment. Another 500K will be given later this year to build a new NBC complex and improve infrastructures. We hope those vague plans might bring Radio Morobe back on shortwave. It used to be on 3220, but we're not counting on it. Meanwhile, as Ron Howard points out, that frequency is occupied by North Korea. On August 4th, Ron Howard also checked all the other known Papua New Guinea shortwave frequencies and found none of them were on the air. John Filiozzi says, those seeking more in-depth news of events in Ukraine, as well as Eastern Europe in general, should consider becoming a regular listener to Radio Poland's daily news magazine, Europe East. Radio Poland is the external service of Polskie Radio. It once was heard on shortwave, but some time ago increased coverage to 24/7 in English via a reliable internet stream. Europe East is a half-hour broadcast several times a day, 7 days a week. You can find it via www.polskieradio.pl. The following from Ivan Zelenyi in Nizhny Vartovsk, Russia on Hardcore DX. Of all the content that Pravda Dla Rossi broadcasts on 13600 kHz, the Intercepted Truth section is the most popular, in which Ukrainian actors try to portray Russian military telephone conversations with relatives from Russia. However, in Russia, all people recognize the familiar Ukrainian accent and the words they use in everyday speech, only residents of Western and Central Ukraine. Wolfgang Bischel hears Saudi Arabia interfering with itself, two different programs on almost the same frequency, presumably from two different shortwave sites. August 1st at 0520. On 15285.003, Swahili towards East Africa at 0518, and on 15285.017, Indonesian towards Southeast Asia. So one's from Jeddah, the other from Riyadh. The Indonesian one did ID it's from Riyadh at 0520. Ron Howard in California reports on SIBC Solomon Islands 5020. On August 3rd, it ran about half an hour past 1200 UT after the national anthem with pop songs. But on Sunday, July 31st, it was playing nonstop religious songs past 1410 UT. Of August 3rd, still no English from Spain at 22 UT Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 17855 and the other three frequencies. However, Alan Rowe has found a website at RTVE previewing programming for the next 6 days, which indicates that English will be resuming on Monday, August 8th. The Radio Reporter blog has a couple of stories lately about Spain. Many broadcasters have abandoned AM, a duplication of FM, that has become increasingly expensive. Till a few years ago, there were local stations from 1 to 5 kilowatts. This year, energy prices skyrocketing due to effects of the conflict in Ukraine. Several more are throwing in the towel. In June, four important COPE stations bade farewell. We already reported that Radio Nacional had reduced the power of six of its broadcasting centers, which had been at 300 kilowatts. Another story there on August 4th, citing examples of Switzerland and Norway, the Compromise Party has asked the Pedro Sanchez government to consider switching to digital broadcasting and abandoning frequency modulation to cope with a possible energy crisis. In Spain, there are 163 medium-wave transmitters, of which 103 are public and 60 commercial, and approximately 2,500 radio stations with over 6,000 transmitters on FM, of which it's estimated at least 1,000 are unlicensed. That story came via John Hode in the British DX Club. Michael in the UK replies, if modern DAB transmitters are more efficient, closing down older analog transmitters would help. But at 220 MHz, many more DAB transmitters are needed for the same coverage as for 100 MHz on FM. DAB receivers eat up batteries many times faster than an analog radio, so tend to be less portable, unless tethered to the mains or a car battery, and still use more power. We are losing over-the-horizon medium wave. FM is next. DAB with even more limited range will give succor to not a few governments. Web radio can be interdicted. In IRCA, Gary DeBox says, from my Kauai the expedition partner Chris Rogers, news of an improved medium wave antenna for the 10-kilowatt Tongan station A3Z in Nuku'alofa from their Facebook page TBC A3Z. Chris doesn't know if the new antenna is operational yet. It's already the strongest down-under blaster overall at the Rock Wharf Cliff, the expeditions on the Oregon coast. That's on 1017 kHz. In Australian DX News, Matt Francis says, the antenna upgrade is part of the Tonga National Early Warning System project, supported by the Japanese government, to support transmission of disaster warning and safety information. Kai Ludwig wrote an article for Media Magazine, originally in German, about BBC on shortwave. In the near future, BBC can be expected to largely phase out shortwave broadcasting. There's already talk of the remaining operation, BBC only on shortwave for Africa and parts of Asia and the Middle East. BBC's shortwave systems in Antigua, Cyprus, Lesotho, Seychelles, and Thailand no longer exist. In Wolverhampton, England too, less than a quarter of the capacity that were once in operation are still active. There are, of course, still facilities on Ascension Island, Oman, and Singapore. In the world of horology, this came to us via New Zealand DX Times by Michael Shell in the Hill of July 25th, sent on by Ray Crawford. Permanent daylight shifting time hits brick wall. They call it saving, but it's really shifting. More than 4 months after the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a bill to make DST permanent in the U.S., the measures hit a brick wall in the House of Representatives. The main impediments dimming the legislation's chances of passing appear to be fundamental disagreements over its language and a general consensus that other matters take precedence as the House grapples with high inflation, gun massacres, and fending off judicial threats on issues such as abortion and marriage equality. The Senate created a buzz in March when it approved the Sunshine Protection Act, which would make DST permanent through unanimous consent, drawing widespread headlines. That legislation would not take effect until November 2023, calls for abandoning the process of changing clocks twice a year. On the other hand, IGH have long advocated abolishing DST altogether. Stay on standard time, which makes sense. We see on the unique radio schedule from Australia, one of the world of radio broadcasts has shifted 1 hour later to 11 UT on Wednesdays, followed by International Radio Report at 11:30. The other airings on Saturdays remain at the same times, 07 and 07:30, on 5035 USB, or if necessary, 3210. Apparently, there are also possibilities of a repeat later in the nights if Tim leaves the transmitter on. Larry Will explains why the 9330 transmitter of WBCQ has been skewed in frequency. He says the Superstation's R420 transmitter is online, but part of the driver circuit has failed and is in Continental's hands for rebuilding and or replacement. In the meantime, they are using an alternative driver, which explains the slight frequency offset you've observed the past few weeks. It's also not unusual for the frequency to be off the air, such as August 3rd at 0624. The last time I measured it was August 2nd at 1508 on 9330.083. Since July 1st, Texas Radio Shortwave has a new policy of not verifying reception reports involving a remote receiver unless they are owned by the person reporting. This has been subject to some discussion in New Zealand DX Times, where they actually have a separate section for loggings made by SDRs, edited by Dean Lindeberg. This makes no sense to me, since the point is hearing a station or a program, is it not? So what if it's a remote receiver allowing you to hear it better or at all, as long as you make clear it is a remote and where it is located? Dean says the reason shortwave listeners these days, at least here in New Zealand, use these receivers is because many of them are getting older and have moved into retirement homes or apartments and no longer have space to erect outside antennas. This could cause them to give up shortwave listening or listen via web-based SDRs. So add TRSW to the list along with KVOH, World Music Radio, Radio Nord Revival, who no longer verify reports by web-based SDRs of any kind. Last week we had a report from Ben Cobb of Experimental Radio News that the FCC declined to renew experimental high-frequency license of 3DB communications. But now Ben says the FCC has reversed itself. Its prior correspondence declining the renewal has been removed from the website. The license term is now extended to September 2023. One of the conditions forbid station from being used for stock trading. It's been suggested that the station's principals or clients are engaged in futures trading, not stocks, and therefore presume themselves to be free from this FCC restriction. Don Momin in Alberta replies to the previous report, "They are all over the spectrum of the very wide data signal. They can occupy 48 kilohertz of spectrum, and even more due to transmitter limitations." There was a post about this from Dave Wright on the UDXF Reflector. Ken Zicke asks, "Has anyone actually logged them with specifics as to time, date, and frequency and mode? Spread spectrum implies nobody is likely to note them and log them unless they are specifically in the know, and know to look for them." Don Momin replies, "I've heard them with 48 kilohertz wide signals, sounding like DRM, that went on for hours, but nigh onto impossible to actually determine who it is. No wonder they can say they don't receive any interference complaints." Doug Smith in Tennessee writes a very interesting column based on FCC TV news for VHF UHF Digest to the Worldwide TV-FM DX Association. Here are a few bits from the August issue. "A U.S. TV station license is valid for 8 years. To avoid having to process everything simultaneously, renewal dates are staggered every 2 months. The stations in a few states expire. For example, Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma expired on June 1st. But stations must apply for renewal 4 months before expiration to provide the commission adequate time to process the renewal. Licenses in Texas expire August 1st. Renewal applications were due by April 1st. 36 low-power stations and translators had not filed by that date. I expect most of these are not on the air and will not object to non-renewal." Headed "Less is More," over the years, stations requesting reduction in power. There are quite a few this month. Probably seems counterintuitive. Wouldn't a station want to run as much power as FCC permits? There are several reasons why they may wish to reduce. The most common is economic. More power means more coverage, more square miles, more people able to see the station, more people to see the ads. It also means more money spent on a bigger transmitter and on replacement tubes, more money on a bigger antenna, on electricity. In the Northeast, say Connecticut, adding another 500 square miles of coverage could bring you over 350,000 new viewers. But it would be rather different in Nebraska, where there are only 12,000 people in 500 square miles. The most recent low-power TV filing window attracted hundreds of successful applications. These stations must now be built before their permits expire. The auction winners have a limited amount of capital to build dozens of stations simultaneously. In many cases, they're filing to build at reduced power, then sell the station and let the new owner file for a later increase. Seems that Radio Vanuatu's third harmonic on 11835 had been missing for more than a month, but it was being heard again from July 29th. I check around 0630. Three times 3945, also audible on two times 7890. But the harmonic 11835 is not as strong as it used to be. On August 3rd, we heard that drumming signalizing government announcements to follow at 0630. Same date on the California coast, Ron Howard was hearing it until sign-off at 11:03. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder: G1 minor storm conditions likely on August 17th, but A and K and Z's peaking at 22 and 5. Also, active conditions likely August 4th, 5th, 18th, and 19th. Unsettled August 6th, 11th, 12th, and 20th. Solar flux barely peaking at 100 August 15th and 16th. Otherwise in the 90s, as it has been for the past week. That's World of Radio, 2150. Glenn Hauser here. Thanks for listening, and please make a point of hearing me next week, as I conclude with a standard disclaimer.